Welcome everybody to the Listen Up Podcast. It's your boy Brandon at Future Know Dad 24.
This your boy Sam at More Life One.
Let's get it. Put it up.
The type of people made the club before. Many a day has passed.
Yo, what's up, everybody? On this episode, another loss, but I don't think we're covering it from a wins and loss standpoint. We want to know, did we actually see progress? We're going to talk about Chuba's performance in the game. We'll have another segment of Fire Adam Fuller. And then we'll talk about some other things, man. Sam, you ready?
Yeah, let's do this.
Let's do it. All right, so Sam, man, I know you wanted to. So I guess last week, man, we kind of upset the timeline a little bit with our boy at Shop Talk Weird coming on and really, you know, saying how he felt. But I think a lot of people took it the wrong way. I want you to kind of clarify what he was saying and break down what we were talking about a little bit.
But okay, let's do this first because. When we bring guests on the show, right, it's not my – I don't feel like we bring people on the show to argue with them. Like, this ain't First Take. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So, like Everett Dawkins came on the podcast, right, and he said that, you know, the defensive drill that we saw, it's not designed for this, it's designed for that. And he like Odell. That's his position coach. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I'm not finna get on the podcast and be like, nah, Everett – Odell trash. Need to fire his ass. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's not what we, you know what I'm saying? It's just not what we here for. And even with Wig, we're talking about, you know, that one defensive play, where me and him disagree. I think my disagreement with the play is that the linebacker does take the wrong step. But my opinion is, you know that you have to make it simple for the defense, right? So why not just put the linebacker in that spot to begin with so you don't have to worry about the step? You know what I'm saying? Because he's a true freshman linebacker. But I'm not going to argue with the guests about certain things. You know what I'm saying? Now, I think his main thing is when you're talking about prospect of a quarterback, right? Why would you go way to Arizona to get a quarterback that's not even ready made yet for a guy that seems to be, at this point in their career, a little ahead than Chuba? Now, Chuba might be better long term. But there's nothing that you look at to say, oh, well, Chuba's head and heels better than Jeff Sims. You don't see anything that says that. So why wouldn't you take the local guy who has the quarterback coach that has ties to all the quarterbacks in the area because you got to recruit this area? Why wouldn't you take that guy instead of the guy from Arizona?
Right. You don't want to burn the right. You don't want to burn the Sandalwood Bridge. I mean, you know, Sandalwood produces talent. Jacksonville produces talent. You don't want to come in as a guy with no ties to anything in the state and then have an opportunity to potentially, I mean, to get a quarterback from Sandalwood and from one of the larger high schools in the area and then say,
and the quarterback coach,
correct. Denny Thompson as well. Right. So who keeps putting out D1 quarterbacks and say, all right, we're going to burn this bridge. And not only are we going to burn this bridge, we're going to kind of do some things. We're going to do it in a way that, last minute for the most part. You know what I mean? Like, again, right. This guy's had an offer. If nothing else, you should have honored it. You know what I mean? If nothing else, you should have said, hey, man, listen, you offered it. You wanted to come to Florida State. Let's bid for nothing else. And that's about seeing the long term versus the short term. I thought they were very short sighted with the idea, oh, okay, I got my guy. Here's the problem with Chuba Purdy, though. I mean, Chuba Purdy is not clearly was not ready for day one. And we'll get into his performance this past week, but it still doesn't feel like he was ready to step in day one and be a starting quarterback. Jeff Sims, for all his picks and everything like that, he still has stepped in and been he's made freshman mistakes, but he stepped in and looks to be ready for day one. And you would have wanted to keep that Jacksonville tie and that Florida tie as opposed to getting rid of him. And that was really the point that T-Wick was trying to make. But again, when people isolate, you know, 30 seconds without listening to everything, that was the thing. See, the thing is, and I guess to break it down how we do it, and this is a little behind the scenes, the idea is for y'all to hear the 30 seconds and then go back and listen to the rest of the episode. So then y'all can have some context to what was said. But what's happening is people are taking 30-second clips and running with it. Like, go listen to the before, go listen to the after. Go listen to what was said previously and go listen to what was said afterwards. Anybody can take 30 seconds. You can take 30 seconds of anything I said, chop it up, and you can make it say whatever it is you want to say. Man, be more responsible for a lot of people who would disagree, and be more responsible to just go in, and even if you don't want to listen to the whole episode, man, take 5 minutes. Listen to previously, listen to what was afterwards, so that way you can at least have some context as to what was saying. People was arguing with something that that was taken well out of context, but we expected that people would go in and listen to the episode without making, you know, and formulating opinions about one person's credibility and his ability to evaluate quarterbacks. Because in my opinion, I felt like a lot of y'all, you know, stupid on that.
Well, and then another thing, when you listen to the whole episode, first of all, Wig has been a defender of Norvell and Fuller. You know what I'm saying? For the most part. You know what I'm saying? Well,
like, if we keep it perfect honest, Wig has been a defender of Norvell and these guys, even to our disliking. Like, we don't bring on people just because they agree with us. We didn't know what he was gonna say. Because Wig came on and has been, like, Wig calls me all the time and defends Mike Norvell, defends the coaching staff. He's called you. Hey, man, take that down. That's unfair to Mike Norvell. We've deleted tweets because Wig told us to take it down because it was, you know what I mean? He felt like it was portraying Mike Norvell and the quarterback and the team in a bad light. Like, so we didn't know that this is where Wig was headed with this conversation. You know what I'm saying? Like, we had no idea about that. He came on and basically said, all right, I've seen enough to where I don't feel like I still need to defend him anymore. There's too many things that I can't defend.
Right.
And that's where, and he took it that way.
Right, right, right. But I mean, I just, for the record, like, it's like people, you know, and when we talk about these fans, it's like, okay, the Nolcast, for instance. I listen to the Nolcast. That's why I think the Nolcast and Seminole Headlines, the only two things I listen to now. I can't listen to a lot of podcasts. Because I don't like to talk about things and then I start sounding like the other podcasters. You know what I'm saying? So I try not to listen to a lot of podcasters anymore. You know what I'm saying? So, but the Nolcast early on, even when Willie was here, they said, oh, if we have one or two offensive line injuries, we won't make a bowl game, right? People called them negative. We had, three or four injuries on the offensive line. We didn't make a bowl game. I wasn't mad at the Nolcast about that. I was a better informed fan because I heard that. So I didn't get that emotional as the games was getting played. Cause I was like, well, we terrible on the offensive line. We're not going to win a lot of games. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And we try to be honest on this podcast. You know what I'm saying? Like, I told people before the season started, when they hired Adam Fuller, I said, that was a bad hire. That was a bad hire. He does funky stuff with the safeties. That stuff is not going to play well in the ACC. And I said it over and over and over and over again. And everybody got mad about it. Everybody was tweeting at me in my DMs, telling me I'm wrong. He moved Memphis up 40 spots. But what I would argue, what I would tell people to go do is, go look at, I watched FAU the other night ago, right? With Jim Levitt at FAU.
Yeah, right? I watched that. Yeah.
I'm watching him, right? And you know the biggest difference between these that lower level football and this level football?
Mm-hmm.
Quarterback play. Those quarterbacks are not very good. So if you just a little tight on a receiver or a tight end, that quarterback can't really fit the ball in there. You know what I'm saying? So the fact, like, Jim Levitt is dominating FAU on defense right now. He's dominating on that level. You know what I'm saying? Because he's like, oh, all I got to do is just put guys in position. I ain't got to worry about no quarterbacks. I ain't got to worry about Trevor Lawrence making tight throws over and over again. You know what I'm saying? So I'm watching the games, and I'm like, well, I can see why Fuller might have been decent his first year at Memphis. But then how do you excuse what happened the second year when they're giving up 40, 50 points to everybody on that level? How do you excuse that? If somebody like Jim Levitt is dominating it his first year, he's probably going to dominate it next year. And Fuller was not good last year at Memphis. He wasn't. That's just a fact. He wasn't good. They was great on special teams. They was great on offense at Memphis. They wasn't great on defense. And now you're on this level of football, and people thought that was going to translate to Florida State. Like, how? How did you think that? But these same people are still defending the coaches and saying, it's the players. It's the players. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not. It's not, because these players was playing better last year, which y'all said was with a bad staff that was dancing, that didn't like each other, and that was unorganized. How is that possible? How is Marvin Wilson a better player last year than he is this year? How was Durden a better player last year than he is this year? How? How? Like, it doesn't make any sense. Akeem Dent was playing safety. Everybody said he was out of position. They put him at DB this year, cornerback. He looks worse. How? I mean, at some point, you have to be honest at what you're looking at. And it's like, to get on this podcast and say, oh, this guy got a pick. Oh, well, look at that sack he got. Oh, they turned the corner. Every week, they're getting blown out by 4 or 5 touchdowns. And at the end of the game, they're turning the corner. They're not. They're not turning the corner. Bailey Hartman is horrible. Florida State beat the shit out of NC State last year with Bailey Hartman at quarterback. He wasn't even in the game this year. Not even in the game.
He went 9 for 9 his first. He went 9 for 9 his first 9 passes.
They made him look like he was young Doug Flutie out there. It's ridiculous. Like,
no, it absolutely not, is. And
yeah, so that, it's not turning around. Like, I'm tired of people saying, oh, well, you know, look at the fight. Look at the fight at the end. Yeah, you can fight when you're down 5 touchdowns. The other team's basically done. They're just trying to run the clock out. We're making mediocre ACC teams look like they're top 10 teams. Like, that NC State team look unstoppable. And you go back and watch all the games, and that's what they back up. Bailey Hartman's their backup quarterback. They'd had their starter. That would have been way worse. Way worse.
Yeah. This podcast
isn't here to lie to you. It's just not. It's not here to lie to you. It's here to tell you the truth. So here's
the problem, right? And I've told Sam about this, and me and Sam have had this conversation, I feel like, 30 times already. The problem with our podcast, and I don't see it as a problem, but some folks do, is we constantly tell folks there's no Santa Claus. And that hurts people's feelings. You know what I mean? Like, people want to be lied to. And I've come to realize that, like, when stuff is going bad, they want you to tell them that it ain't as bad as what you think it is. When stuff is going horrible, they really want you to tell them, oh, there's light at the end of this tunnel. Or this is what we can do in order to make it better. Or, hey, listen, we make one move here. We do this right here, man. We right there. That's what people want to hear. The problem is, I am too honest. Sam is too honest. And so we call it exactly how we see it. We ain't putting no spin on it. We not trying to make a creative way of figuring out. No, we call it how we see it. I looked at this game, and for the first time, I did not finish the game. I cut it off. If y'all can see, my tweet stopped. I cut the game off.
I didn't even watch the game. I was drinking and eating oysters and having seafood with my family because he had a little baby shower for my brother. And I told him, man, I got to watch a game. Give me an hour, so I'm going to watch the condensed version of the game. Yeah. Because,
and I went, right. And so I did the same thing this morning. I went back, and so I went, and I was like, I'm where I cut off at, let me go back and watch. And the thing is, what people are calling progress, I'm not sure I understand. I feel like the bare minimum is to continue to play the football game. Okay, right. So they continue to play the football game. They weren't sad about having to play the football game that they on scholarship to play. They continue to show effort. Like, these are the things that we're looking at and saying this is what we that says they're bought in. Are they turning around? Are things are progress? Like, no, you're on scholarship to play football. So therefore, you're gonna play football. Not to mention, you down 30 points. They don't care what you're doing out here. They not, like, they don't care. The coach don't care. The players ain't, like, you are not getting the same level. What happened when both teams really wanted to play football and both team cared, including the coaches and everybody? Y'all got beat 35-3.
Right. We was like, in garbage time. We was in garbage time at halftime.
At halftime. Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, you talking about what happened? Like, what are y'all talking about? Like, no, man. That we watched the second 98 yards of offense.
Yeah, and I want to be honest with y'all. I want to be honest about something else too. If you want to go check this, Mike Norvell has never recruited a quarterback out of high school and developed that quarterback to be a starter. All right, it's a fact. That's a fact. Wow. Okay.
Whew.
So. I'm just saying this. I'm just being honest with people. Now, he did grab a grad transfer like Brady White and made him a good quarterback. You know what I'm saying? He made a guy decent-looking quarterback. Mike Norvell, in my opinion, is a good offensive mind. I really do like some of the stuff he do on offense in the run game. His passing game leads a lot to be desired. You know what I'm saying? Just being real. But I think offensively, we might be fine long-term, offensively and special team. But at the same time, I don't hear the stuff behind the scenes recruiting wise that says this is gonna turn around. We're recruiting Wade out there in Montana. You're looking for a wide receiver in Montana. Think about this. A wide receiver, Montana, Darkman. You are in the state of Florida. You're right next to right there by Southern Georgia. You have the I-10 Beltway. Why the fuck are you way out there looking for a wide receiver?
That's what I keep trying to figure out. Like, again, I keep trying to figure out. Like,
we gonna get to the game, but
give me the two star. Give me the Florida two star over anybody in Montana. Give me the Florida two star, three star over. And I'm sorry if you're from Montana, you offended. Be offended. I don't know what to tell you. Give me the two star Florida athlete versus anybody in Montana. I mean, I'm just like it don't make sense to me, dog. You go to Oak Leaf, go to Reigns, go to Reebok, go to Jackson, go to Forest, it ain't Forest no more. It's Westside. I mean, I guarantee you can
go to Westlake. Go to Westlake.
Right. I guarantee you. Go to Hollandale.
Go to Palm Beach.
I guarantee you, you can go to Florida anywhere in Florida, throw a stone and hit an athlete at wide receiver.
We found
he may be a little unpolished. He may be a little unpolished. He probably going to be a little undisciplined. But your job is to go out there and make him into something. Like, again, because what he going to have is a whole lot of speed. He going to have a lot of raw athleticism because he's been playing tackle loco in the garage, on concrete his whole life. Like, bro, you know what I mean?
Willie found Keyshawn Helton. But before Mike Norvell got here, Keyshawn Helton was actually a good player.
That's what's funny. He figured out a way to use Keyshawn Hill.
Keyshawn Hill was a good player.
I'm not going back to Willie. Forget it. Listen, all right, because I came in here with the idea that I was going to just ask questions and be positive and just talk about the game. I'm not going to listen. But when I start talking about it, and it just don't make it. It's the stuff that he's doing and the stuff that the coaching staff is doing doesn't make sense to me for us to tell for the timeline to say, look at all that progress we saw in the third and fourth quarter. Huh? In the third and fourth quarter, man, the game was over with. What are we talking about? The third and fourth quarter? Like, what happened in third and fourth quarter besides Chubba Purdy? He finally learned, hey, man, I got to step up in that pocket. That's a great thing he learned, and I'm glad he did. He scrambled. He bought time. He looked far more comfortable. But that was the fourth quarter, and the game was over with.
Yeah.
Like, the rush ain't the same. The energy ain't the same. The effort ain't the same. Nothing about that looks the same anymore. Like, the whole game is different now because they know. Because the other team is coaching and playing completely different than how they was playing the first half of the game. The first half of the game, it was bad. Y'all had 98 yards of offense. And the defense couldn't stop a slant route because for some reason, our D coordinator is blitzing folks but also playing off coverage. But we ain't gonna go there yet.
Okay.
But we ain't gonna go there yet. So I guess did we actually see progress?
No. We did not see progress. What we saw was a live scrimmage. That's what we saw.
And boy, I'm going to get into that. All right, go ahead.
No, that's what we saw. We saw a live scrimmage, right? Because, I mean, there is no reason to be playing Rotomaker if Chubb is the future, right? I saw a head coach that I don't think was actually calling plays yesterday. I think he might have been doing some evaluating yesterday, like he was at a scrimmage. So, I saw the guys on defense doing what they're told to do, and they've been doing what they've been told to do all season. Like, they're playing hard on defense. Like, people can say what they want to say. Those guys are playing hard. They're flying to the football, but when you're out leveraged on every play because your defensive coordinator don't know what the fuck he's doing, I mean, it is what it is. The only good thing I did see this week was he did what Wiggs said do. Put 33 on the fucking football field. That finally happened this week. Yeah, it'd been
and he led the team in tackles. And he just so ho-hum having to lead the team in tackles.
But it's amazing, right? It's amazing how good he is when you actually put him on the football field and let him play. Like, it's crazy to me. Like, it's like that shit is inexcusable. It's inexcusable to have him sitting next to you on the sidelines. Like, it's crazy. So, the D-line, I thought, played a decent game. True Thompson ain't very good. But we already knew that. We said that years ago. So, 11 got abused like he always does. He played. He had some flashes, then he had some other flashes. So, no, we didn't watch any progress.
Okay.
Yeah, man. That was he got pancake on a pass block, bro. that shit, that don't happen. He got
pushed backwards on a pass block. For those of y'all who don't understand the humor in that, on pass blocking, their steps are backwards. Like, it's designed for the defensive player to win. That step is back. He's not the aggressor in pass blocking. And the fact is, he pushed you one time and you went back so easily because your pad level was so high. And then he was like, oh, shoot, you finna fall over. And he just pushed you again, and that was it. And I'm like, come on, man. Like, this ain't what we doing out here. This is a senior. Odell has been his coach. Okay. All right. Progress. No, I didn't see progress. I saw what I thought was a lot of football players continuing to make football plays because the game was out of reach and the other team was no longer coaching or playing. That's what I saw. I mean,
oh, again, you know something else I would tell people? I would tell people to go watch we're talking about these rebuilds and stuff. Go watch Boston College when they played Notre Dame yesterday. Boston College ain't great. Mm. And I'm not saying they're great. They're not great.
And not a lot of talent.
Yep. Not a lot of talent. But they make you earn every yard that you get against them. And you have to execute at a high level to beat them. And most teams, like a Notre Dame or a Clemson, are going to beat them. I mean, because they can.
Right. But talent-wise. This is why Florida State used to always beat them, too. But it was always our toughest opponent in that 2013 season was Boston College.
But
Boston College historically has, you know, they historically are a tough team.
But look how they made Notre Dame earn every yard. Mm-hmm. And this defense don't do that ever.
Oh, I mean, well, again, we'll get into that. I ain't going there yet. So here's a question for you, though, because you mentioned it and I saw the same thing. It looks like he's treating these as practices. It's pretty clear based on yesterday. These are just glorified scrimmages, right? Just with another opponent. It's what happens in the NFL all the time. You know, during the preseason, during the preseason, they would, you know, bring in Tampa Bay is playing Tampa Bay in the game, so y'all going to have a live team scrimmage. It's just televised. These are televised scrimmages. And for me, my question to you is that okay? Like, is that okay? Are you comfortable with at this university, at Florida State University, with your head coach basically saying, fuck the wins. I don't know what I have. I've been watching them this whole time, but I don't know what I have yet. So let me just see and just try to pick and pull and move in this and that.
So remember I came on the podcast, I think that was after the Notre Dame game.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, he need to start treating these games like scrimmages. Mm-hmm. And the back half of the schedule needs to look like what you want the team to start. You know, you should have everybody cemented by the time you got to Pittsburgh, I was thinking, right? So now he's finally doing it now. And that's the part I don't understand. Like,
What have you been doing these last 8 weeks to still, and we talked about it last episode, for you to still not have an idea who your quarterback is? Right? He still don't, I mean, and I guess that's pretty damning on Chubba Purdy, the fact that he still ain't beat out Rotemaker, and Rotemaker clearly ain't it.
Right.
So Rotemaker ain't it, but Chubba still clearly ain't beat him out yet. And even last week he went to Blackman. So he hadn't even beat out Blackman. He don't know what he has at the quarterback position. So he's still trying to figure it out in the games. That's the problem for me. This late in the season. Again, week 1, 2, 3.
Right.
Hey, man, figure it out. I get it. You ain't had no spring. I give you that spring excuse at that point. You got to figure it out. We 8 weeks in now, man.
Right.
I mean, at some point, you don't have 2 bye weeks. You don't know who you have. You haven't watched enough film to be able to figure out who can and who can't play. Who's your best receiver? Not good. So, none of them are good. But what's your best group? What's your best 11 guys on offense? Again, why is Corbin the starting running back?
Well, it seems like they're saying Webb is limited right now.
I heard somebody say he was sick or whatever it is. But why is he playing though?
Here's the thing.
When he got on the field, did he still not look like the best running back on the field?
Yeah, he did.
Okay, so I hear the excuse that you threw out there. I know what you told Ira. Ira came out and said he was sick. I'm telling you, I watched him catch 3 swing passes, made a man miss every time and get yards. Miss me with that. I don't believe it. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
He still looked like the better running back while sick, if he is that, still looked like the better running back.
Right.
Is Toa Philly also sick? Because if not, then just go to Toa Philly. But he didn't get no reps last game. And again, nobody's saying nothing. Like, I keep trying to figure out how the week after the bye, all these players are missing. Don't know. Nobody gave no answers. Nobody gave no information. Okay. And usually, you'll know these things. Like, this, the reason why it's a problem for me is because in the past, you would know, you know, midweek, hey, this guy's going to be out. This guy was limited in practice, so on and so forth, blah, blah. Unless it was like a major player, and then you might want to keep it secret just for, you know, your quarterback or whatever. You might want to keep it secret so you can have the other team confused. But you got 8 guys missing. Okay, well, that's interesting. There ain't nobody heard nothing and nobody know nothing. Now, for this week, the same exact thing. Nobody was game planning for Toa Philly, but the fact is, nobody said anything. So why is he not on the field? It speaks, in my opinion, to disorganization, which was the reason why you told me Willie Taggart couldn't be the coach anymore, was because he was too disorganized. It wasn't the X's and O's. It wasn't the wins and losses. He just was way too disorganized in running a program.
Right.
Okay. Well, then, can somebody explain to me why players just keep not playing, but we don't seem to get no answers? Nobody knows nothing. Nobody can't figure out nothing. I ain't hear, but Toa Philly don't get no carries. Webb supposedly is sick, but is well enough to enter the game and play and look pretty decent to me. I'm not sure I'm understanding what's going on. So when you say, you know, so when I ask you, are you okay with the scrimmages, and you saying, yeah, early on in the season, but now no, I'm saying the same thing. It's too late in the season to start to still be trying to figure out what in the hell you have.
You should know who you bringing back next year, what's your plan gonna be next year, and you should be putting that plan in place right now.
Right.
In my opinion, I mean, you're gonna get waxed by Clemson, right? Mm-hmm. So my thought process was, Pitt, NC State, Clemson, Virginia, Duke. Find a way to go 3-2 against that. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, 3-2. Yeah, find a way to go 3-2 against that. And play the bowl game, go 4-2. You know what I'm saying? I was looking at that like, okay, that's where we kind of need to kind of look at this. And I take my lumps early on, blowouts or whatever, as long as I'm getting guys in. Mm-hmm. And, you know, because we talked about this already, about Terry and Marv not even playing that much or being gone by now. Right. We had already talked about
the youth movement a while ago. Yeah,
yeah, we've been talking about this. So everybody's acting all surprised. Oh, we're playing young guys now. Well, yeah, no shit. Yeah, no shit, you playing young guys now. I mean,
right.
You should have been doing that. So
right. You were supposed to forfeit this season very early on. We were saying we not worried about wins and losses. Just figure out what you have so we can determine what we gonna need going forward. We said that week two or three in the season.
Yeah,
after the Miami game, I believe.
I said if you lose against Georgia Tech, you need to reevaluate everything that's going on. I said that. Right? Did I not say that? I said if it's a close game or a loss, we need to start re-looking at everything. You know what I'm saying? Right. Because at that point, you're the worst team in the ACC.
Right. So, and they are. They are the worst team in the ACC. And so you should have at that point started figuring out what I have. Putting a plan in place to figure out what are we going to do next and how do we execute that plan. And the fact is, they basically just been every week. New team, new game plan, new starters. Nothing. Like, these were the three you should have been planning your season for. Let's beat NC State. Let's beat Pitt. Let's beat NC State. Let's beat Duke, and let's beat Virginia.
Right.
If we can rattle off four out of them five, because you know you're gonna lose to Clemson, we can look at this season and say,
well, if you go three
headed in the right direction.
Well, if you go 3-2 against that, I'm feeling pretty good. If you go 3-2
exactly,
against that,
we at least headed in the right direction. But competitive against, you know, be competitive in all of them. Even if you lose them, but you're competitive in all of them, we can still say at least we can see what they're doing. They have an identity. This is what their offense is. This is what their defense is. This is who they're, you know what I mean? This is who's making plays, so on and so forth. But to now be week eight, and we still have no idea if, I'm assuming Tate Rodemaker and Chubb are going to still battle it out again, you know, next week. Like, there's still going to be a plan to have Chubb get a couple theories, or did they figure it out?
I think Chubb is the quarterback, but what I can't understand is why are you playing Rodemaker? You got to let Chubb fight through whatever he got going on.
It wasn't a fight through, according to what Wasserman said. That was the plan all along. They were gonna bring in Rodemaker.
So why would you let Rodemaker?
To me, that Chubb did not fully secure the starting job.
So
now,
why
maybe
would
he
you
did
let,
after this game?
But why would you let Rodemaker take the 2 minute drive?
That was the plan. The plan was at whatever time in the game, regardless of circumstance, situation, we're putting in Rodemaker. Cool. If it happens to be 2 minutes, we said we was playing them two series. At this point, he gonna play these two series. I disagree. I'm only telling you what happened and what all we right. That was on the so I did. I watched the first half, and apparently the announcer, you know how they have the meetings with the coaches, and so when he came in the game, the announcers basically was like, you know, oh, this was part of the plan on loan to get Rodemaker some reps or whatever. Okay, sounds like a coach who don't know what I have at quarterback yet. Chubba clearly ain't the answer.
All right. Well,
which further says to me, you know, that's a problem. If you still saying, I don't know if Rodemaker or Chubba's better. Nah, dude, you the head coach. You should know that. You've been watching these practices. You don't watch the film. You don't seen it. You got to have seen enough to know that Rodemaker ain't it. The game is way too fast for Rodemaker. He's way too erratic, and he don't have nearly the arm that he needs to play at this level.
And I thought Chubba did some decent things at the end of the game. I looked at it. I was like, he did some decent things. You know, he don't look.
He adapted. One thing I will, and this is what I do like about Chubba, is he adapted. He understood. I think early on, he was, like last game, he was just reactive. Everything that was happening, he was just down there. I'm going to get sacked. I'm going to just go ahead and hurt him, try and get this ball out, or I'm going to just take the sack.
Right.
This game, he realized, no, I have some lanes here. You know what I mean? As it started happening, he was like, oh, no, I got some lanes here. I can step up. But I thought one of the things he did really well was, hey, let me step up in the pocket and throw it as opposed to always looking to run, because there may be some plays to be made down the field. And I thought he did a real good job of that. Again, his motion is still funky. It still looks, you know, rusty or whatever. But, I mean, he did all right at the end of the game.
Right.
The end of the game.
Well, I mean, yeah, but I'm saying, like, it's just crazy to me, man. It's crazy. Like, how long has Chubba been back off injury?
I heard
since
he was
the Miami game, right?
What, during the Miami game? Yeah, during the Miami week, he was practicing. We knew he wasn't going to play, but. Yeah.
So, how many weeks has that been?
Six.
So that's 6 weeks.
Seven.
Plus he was here during the summer.
Mm-hmm.
Before he got hurt.
Right.
So what we say about 7, 8 weeks? 7 weeks? 8 weeks?
Mm-hmm.
All right. That's more time than you allotted for a spring, right?
Right.
So he probably should be a little bit better than.
Forget a little bit better. I think one of the things that came out as well was they super simplified the offense. They basically told him, you got one read. And if this read ain't open, then here's your second read. They told him his two reads, your first read and your second read. And if not, then either take the sack or try to make something positive out of it. I'm not sure how or why your 8 weeks of practice in to the season, and he don't know no more of the offense to where you got to tell him his first and second read. So you telling me he just, like, he don't know nothing? You know what I mean? That's something you would tell somebody like week one of the season, but we didn't even see that with Jeff. I'm just saying, like, we're eight, 9 weeks in, and you still they had to give you your first and second read.
Okay, so that's kind of odd. So that's
this ain't me guessing. This is what the coach said. This is what was reported. I'm not the reporter, so don't shoot the messenger. I'm just saying that this is what was said. He was given his first read. If that's not open, then here's your second guy. If these not open, then throw it out of bounds, run, or do something. Try not to fumble it. Like, that was the offense for the whole first half of the game. They said the second half, they allowed him to kind of freestyle it. I'm not sure I understand. Why wouldn't we allow him to, I don't know, play quarterback?
Well, Altmaier's, hopefully we keep Altmaier.
And Lord, we got to keep Altmaier. Because if you're telling me we 9 weeks in and this dude don't know the offense, I'm questioning his ability to know the offense. Or your offense is too complicated. That seems odd to me.
That does, like, seem quarterbacks odd.
Quarterbacks get...
Norvell's system ain't that complicated. That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't...
That's my point. His offense isn't that complicated. But what did we see the whole first half? Bubble screen, wildcat, crossing route. Was anything else outside of that? Did they even take a shot? Again, just like they would not let him throw it past 10 yards.
That's wild.
I don't understand. Also, like, here's another question. What do you think about these fourth downs? These fourth downs that Mike, for some reason, continues to go on on his own side of the field, regardless of score, and even knowing that his defensive coordinator can't call defenses.
I think he's just trying to get as many reps as he can.
In other words, forget the, like, he really is. Forget the outcome. This don't count.
Yeah.
Yeah. Game don't count. Yeah. Yeah. Game don't count. So we're going to play it like Madden.
That's wild.
This is how my son plays Madden. He don't look at ain't no score, this down distance, fourth down, whatever. Playing Madden with my son is the worst thing. I hate it.
Right.
Because they know the field goal unit does not ever see the field. He going for two every time. And he going for it on fourth down, regardless of the down or distance. That's how Mike Norvell is coaching it. Like, this is some sort of video game that don't really count for nothing. Maybe they told him, hey, man, maybe he got a vote of confidence. He went to the administration, told him, hey, it's super messed up out here in these streets. I'm just nothing. Don't even watch the games. Don't come to them. Don't have none of your friends watch it. It's going to be bad. I'm just figuring some things out. And so they said, Mike, it's okay. Do whatever you got to do. We're not going to count this year. Next year is when we'll start counting you. You know, we'll take you seriously. Maybe that's what he got. So therefore, he's just out here trying stuff. Okay.
Right.
That's not really, you know, that's not necessarily a wild take. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's very well possible that happened.
Right.
That's, you know what I'm saying? Because that's how he's coaching. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's coaching as if he was told, this season doesn't matter. Nothing you do this season matters. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what it is. None of it matters. We will start judging you next season. So therefore, he's just trying it. And I feel like at Florida State that should never be the case. That should never be the case. Like, am I wrong in that? Like, I mean, should there ever be on the job training? I mean, should you ever be out here scrimmaging in real games?
Hey man, we doing it now. So
I'm asking, is it okay? You right, we are doing it. I'm asking.
I mean, at some point you got to start the clock on next season. I don't necessarily have a problem with it. I wish she would have done it earlier. I thought we should have been watching good football by the last 3 to 4 games of the season. I was okay with getting blowed out early because I was like, well, this isn't going to be good. You know, I don't know. I mean, I don't know, man. He got to do what it's Mike's program. He got to do whatever he thinks is best. I just don't know if it's going to turn. I don't know. It's just weird, man. It's weird watching it, to be honest with you, because I don't see any silver linings. Like, I don't. Unless you fire, I mean, I think 4 coaches are going to be gone by the offseason, by the end of the offseason. I think 4 coaches are leaving, you know. That's still not good for continuity, you know what I'm saying? So what does that look like next year?
Right. Depending on now they got to learn a new defense.
So I'm of the opinion that what they should do, if it was me, I would fire Fuller now. I'll promote either Marv or Woodson. Somebody like that, and add a recruiter, add 2 more recruiters on the defensive side. That's what I would do to try to keep continuity. Like, if you fire Fuller now and promote Marv, you know what I'm saying, maybe you can keep continuity, add some recruiters to that side, and start developing your defense now. Other than that, I don't see a silver lining coming. Like, I don't see the silver lining because – offensive line wise, I think you're better on the offensive line. You got a really good offensive line coach. I'm of the opinion that maybe you should probably promote that offensive line coach to, you know, offensive coordinator. Personally, just so you can keep him, because he's gonna be a hot commodity. He's gonna be a hot commodity real soon. So I would probably promote him to offensive coordinator. You know what I'm saying? Like, I won't try to get ahead of that curve because. That man doing yeoman's work with the offensive line. The offensive line don't look bad, bro.
They didn't look bad yesterday with all freshmen.
And you know who looked bad in the offensive line right now as we currently sit here and talk? Georgia. Mm-hmm. Georgia looked really bad on the offensive line. I would do whatever I can right now to keep Atkins because, I mean, Georgia's kind of like where he recruits at. So that's a perfect transition for that guy. I would try to promote Atkins. ASAP. I really mean that. Not joking when I say that either. Very serious about that.
That's a scary
proposition if Georgia come in here and grab Alex Atkins.
I don't know. I can't even think that far ahead, and I'm scared to even think about it. I ain't gonna lie to you. That makes me very scared. Let me say this, man. I saw a lot of things in this game. I don't feel like any of it was really progress. I got a lot more questions than I got answers. You know, Warren Thompson made a catch. Okay. He also dropped one earlier, so I guess they canceled each other out. It was a great catch. We say they never, you know, what is it called? High point the ball. They never, you know, make any tough catches. He made one. Thank you. All right. You know, I'm not hype. Like they made it seem like it was, you know, oh, that shows progress. The quarterback threw him the football. He went up and made the catch. He's supposed to do these things. Like, these shouldn't be things that say, oh, you know what I mean? These shouldn't be signs of life. These should be normal occurrences. And the fact that they're not says a whole lot more to me than the fact that he made this play. Because he could go out next week and have no catches, no touchdowns, and I fully expect it. You see what I mean? And that's what I mean. When we talk about progress, progress means that this is going to translate to the next week. None of this is translating. None of this is translating to the next week. by any stretch. Like, we've seen it. The bad keeps translating from week to week, but ain't nothing good has translated from week to week yet. Outside of Jordan Travis. But he's hurt, an accident prone, or injury prone. So at this point, it, you know, can't count on him. I would say let's roll out with Chubba and just hope he gets better as he gets more comfortable. And go into next season fully hoping that Altmyer wins that job convincingly and that, you know, we can see something. Because I can tell you, there's not very much I feel good about when it comes to what I saw yesterday.
And you know what? Jordan Travis is better than Chubba.
Jordan Travis is way better than Chubba. I don't even think it's close.
Yeah, he's
like,
better.
In my opinion, I don't think it's close.
Yeah,
like, one's a freshman and one's not. But one is a much better athlete, much better in the pocket, much more poised, throws it better, better throwing, like everything. Like all of it's better.
So he's actually the quarterback. He's actually the quarterback.
Correct. He's the one who should be fighting next year for Altmyer to be the starting quarterback, not Chubba.
Yeah.
I agree with that.
All right.
So No. We don't disagree there. We don't disagree there.
I was just thinking about it he's better. He's better. I mean, it's odd to me to say that, but yeah, he's better.
Yeah. No, I agree. You got anything else, man?
Oh yeah, I wanna play this clip from Urban Meyer. I'm gonna play this clip from Urban Meyer, and we can head out on this clip right here.
Yep.
Hold on, let me get this clip together.
For me to go check under the hood. What are you telling them to go do?
Well, so many of us are excuse makers. I mean, that's part of who we are, and it shouldn't be that way. When you see a team struggle, the first thing the fans and the media blame are the players, or they blame the coaches. It's never more evident than the NFL. I always laugh every week when I'll hear someone say, well, they got bad players in the NFL, some team that always struggles. I'm thinking, wait a minute. Think about what you just said. There's not a bad player in the NFL. They're NFL players. Same with the coach. You can't say, well, he's a bad coach. Now, maybe they're not coaching well, or maybe the player's not playing well, but that's where I always say, lift under the hood. Never make excuse. When I was a coach, I would never let one of my coaches say he's a bad player. I'd warn them, say that again, you probably have to leave, because that's just, you're making excuses. Now, dig deep and find out why. Every time I've had a team struggle, every time, it's fallen in one of three categories. Number one, there's some trust issue. The players don't trust the coach. The coach don't trust the players, or awful when the players don't trust each other. Number two, really think about it, it's called a dysfunctional work environment, Reggie, and that's that, where the expectations are very high, but we don't work hard.
I've been there before, Coach.
And the coach has to be real clear with his team. Say, wait a minute, that's going to lead to frustration, anger, disappointment, because we want to win a championship. I got news, guys. We're not working hard. So quit, stop with the expectations. If your work ethic must exceed or equate your expectations, that's a good environment. And the last one is real obvious. You got a selfish team, man. You got problems on your team. Football is an unselfish sport. That means you have to do the nasty. That means I'm a running.
I just want to leave that there for y'all. That was just, he hit it on the head. You know what I'm saying? Like, the players don't trust the coach don't trust the players. And we out.
Serve crack. Uncle fronted me some peas, had to